coming up on Thunder Pop.
This is going to be a special Thunder Pop Extra where we're going to talk to Paul Nye, a huge fan of The Last Jedi. At least initially, he was a huge fan of The Last Jedi, but he was not so much on board with The Force Awakens. So he's one of those people that was a Last Jedi person, not so much a Force Awakens person. So with The Rise of Skywalker just literally hours away from premiering, and right now the red carpet ceremony is going on as we speak, I'd be curious to see if Paul, a few years later now, is still as high on The Last Jedi as he was initially when it first came out. And is he as down on Force Awakens as he was initially when it first came out? See how that has settled now after a few years. And then also want to see what he thinks, because he wasn't a big JJ fan with what he did with the Force Awakens. So I want to see if he is skeptic or optimistic about what could be coming with The Rise of Skywalker. Also, at the end of this podcast, I'm going to give you 5 reasons why I think Luke Skywalker is still alive. And we will discover that in The Rise of Skywalker. I think they pulled a fast one on us, people. And I'm Stephen Presley and Paul Nye here for the Thunder Pop Extra. Literally hours away from the release of Rise of Skywalker. In fact, tonight is the premiere, I think, for the cast and crew. They're going to be watching. Actually, also members of the media get to screen the film tonight. So that's it. The cat's out of the bag tonight. Now, critics have an embargo. They won't be able to talk about it, I think, for another until a day before. I think they can start their reviews, spoiler-free reviews, can start going to the interweb on Wednesday. So they'll have the chance to screen it tonight, finally, and then the embargo until Wednesday, and then they'll be able to start. I guess they can start writing their reviews. So joining me for this podcast is I get right into it. We're going to be talking Rise of Skywalker in this Thunder Pop Extra. And I wanted to bring on a guy who was a defender, because we have a lot of haters on the Last Jedi, which, as you know, is the previous installment of the Skywalker saga. Now, the thing that makes Last Jedi unique from the other two installments of this trilogy is that it has the different director. Which of these three is not like the other? And that it's the second one of the three was directed by Rian Johnson and not J.J. Abrams. J.J. Abrams has come back to finish up the trilogy, but it was a pretty split crowd. It was one of the most divisive films ever, I think, on the internet. It was a perfect storm. But anyway, yeah. But one of the defenders, somebody I've known to be a defender of The Last Jedi, is our friend Paul Nye, who's joining me via Skype tonight. And I want to ask him in this Thunder Pop Extra if he's still a defender of The Last Jedi. Now that he's had a couple of years and he's had time for it to digest, does he love the film more? Does he love the film less? Does he now absolutely hate it? And is he just over it? And then I know you also, Paul, not a fan of Force Awakens, though.
That is right. Am I still a defender? Yeah, I'll still defend it for sure. Maybe not as strong as I did it first.
Yeah,
but my mind hasn't changed about The Force Awakens either. Because I've watched it quite a few times now.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah, sure. And The Force Awakens, I'll watch it probably more in pieces here and there for both of them, mm-hmm. at this point, you know. Got a young kid, so it's hard to sit down and watch something for a couple hours straight. But
yeah. Oh, I get that. I get that. I definitely know. I get that. So now, probably three years since that film came out, 2016, right? When Last Jedi came out,
yeah, I think it was 16.
Somewhere in 16, yeah. So you like it less than you did when it first came out. Maybe you don't hate it though, right?
No, I don't hate it. Like I guess my thing is like, I still respect the approach Rian Johnson had on it. Did he nail it all the way through? No. Mm-hmm. You know, but I still respect, like, as a film writer, as a filmmaker, like, what he was trying to do, you know, like, mm-hmm. compared to what JJ was doing in the first one, in The Force Awakens, you know?
Yeah, and that was one of the things you had. Now, before Last Jedi comes out, and you just have Force Awakens as your film to critique out of these new movies. And so pre-Last Jedi, were you already kind of like on the Force Awakens and what JJ had done in that? Was your main criticism was that he just followed the blueprint of A New Hope?
Sort of. I mean, yeah. I mean, I thought it was obviously he like kind of followed the blueprint of A New Hope, but also I felt like he just kind of missed the boat on the characters. Mm-hmm. I felt like he didn't make me believe anything that was happening, kind of, you know, like to buy in to any of it. Like for example, like Kylo Ren, mm-hmm. you know, like it's a good example. Who I actually, it's probably my favorite character out of this new trilogy, right?
Yeah.
And like I think Adam Driver did a good job and all that.
I just had made that decision finally. I knew he was always one of the things I liked the most about the two films that mm-hmm. we've seen so far, but at this point now I've decided he's the best actor with Easy. he's put on the best performance thus far. And I don't see anything in these new trailers to steer me from that opinion. And
yeah,
I think that he's a great actor. Also, I think he's the most interesting character of all these characters in this new films.
For sure. I feel like everyone else is like kind of down the middle, kind mm-hmm. of expected, kind of vanilla. He brings something to it that isn't, which is probably like what some people don't like about him. Sometimes mm-hmm. like he's so emotional for like a bad guy and whatever, but like that's his conflict, right? And like at least that's how I see it, or yeah. you know, not just me, it's been like, you know, people talk about that, but yeah, like so I use him for example. Like if he's my favorite character out of everybody, you know, even JJ, like
and Chewbacca, right? Chewbacca's still
well, yeah, of course. Yeah. But the new characters, you know.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, you know, like you're establishing your first talking Force Awakens, right?
Yeah.
So you're establishing this thing, and I just feel like with Kylo, he tried to have him do too much. Like after Star Wars, you just knew Darth Vader was like a badass, right? That's you. Like you didn't want to mess with him.
A baddie.
Right. That's a baddie. Like that's what you knew, right? Mm-hmm. And but you didn't know any of the like oh he has feelings for Luke and all this stuff. You didn't
it's
know. That.
It's unveiled later. Yeah, I mean Darth Vader to me when I was a kid, Darth Vader was scary.
Right.
He was scary as fuck. And I would have nightmares where I thought Darth Vader was in my room.
Yeah, man. I used to have this poster when I was like, I don't know, 8 or something. And it like scared me. It was one of those Star Wars posters. So it was mm-hmm. like, you know, the collage of all the characters.
Yeah.
Vader was like the middle in the big center focus. And it like freaked me out as a kid, for sure. And that's the thing, like, I feel like he tried to be like, this is Kylo Ren, and here's his whole arc in one movie. Mm-hmm. Like he's kind of bratty. He's kind of Anakin. He's kind of Luke. He's kind of Darth Vader. he's kind of, you know, mm-hmm. it was just like, just give me, I feel like the first introduction, you want to just, everyone should just be like pretty singular, you mm-hmm. know, like he kind of did it with everybody, but
tried to give us too much.
Yeah. Try to give us too much. Like, mm-hmm. With all, like, try to give them all mini arcs throughout the thing, but we know there's going to be three of them. So, like, when you make these trilogies, you want to just come out like Act One. You know, you're like, mm-hmm. okay, I get it. He's bad. He's, you know, or like Rey. You know, like Rey should have just been like, kind of like not trusting anybody,
mm-hmm.
like really good with their staff. You know, but like kind of having some hero qualities, you know, yeah. you know, and then like kind of like by accident being able to like take some people down, you know, like just kind of in, if you went down the Star Wars way, they did things, you know, yeah. like, oh, I guess I can do that. You know, kind of like they did with her, like, oh, I guess I can fix the Millennium Falcon, you know, like, mm-hmm. oh, okay. you know, like, but. You know, they kind of pushed it too far, but it just like all of them. I felt like he tried to like, it's like JJ, you know, there's going to be other ones. Why are you trying to do like a whole arc of each character in this first thing? And so it just kind of half-assed.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you know, I had a bigger problem with that than it trying to follow A New Hope, you know, like,
yeah,
that was kind of my thing. Like, okay, like Kylo was so interesting. Like he stops the blaster at the beginning. It just sits there. Never yeah. seen that before. So cool. Then he just like cold blooded kills old dude. I forget his name. The Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And just like, you're just like, all right, he should have just been that all the way through.
Through the first film.
Oh yeah.
So you think they tried to jam too much character,
yeah.
Then here's the thing: the fans after that film were wanting to know more about Snoke, and they felt
about
like they
had, right.
What's that?
Yeah, about everyone, really.
Yeah. So you're saying kind of the opposite of what a lot of people after that film were saying was that they had too many mysteries, not enough questions answered.
Yeah. See, for me, like, the thing is, like. I think it's more what I'm talking about is like more of an emotional arc.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, we kind of know what these people kind of like, where they're going to head emotionally, mm-hmm. but we know nothing about them.
Hey, not to interrupt. I've got on the screen across from me while I'm talking to you on there as well on the screen on Skype. I've got another window open off to the side and they're showing the red carpets for Rise of Skywalker right now. Mark Hamill, actually, it's a blue carpet. They call it the red carpet of Star Wars, but it's actually blue, which I'm assuming they did a blue carpet because of the letters on all the posters for the logo have been blue this go around. But yeah, they're on a blue carpet. Mark looks really good. He's wearing all black and almost a Jedi Knight kind of outfit he's wearing on the blue carpet. But I've got it turned down. But he's being interviewed right now by one of the media.
Oh, sweet, sweet.
Yeah, so he's there.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I love his like, I forget which interview where he was, but he's talking about the script of reading The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just talking yeah. about like, oh, and the lightsaber's in the snow, and it's shaking. He's like, and here I come.
Yeah.
He's like, wait, it goes to Rey. It's just pretty funny.
That was some funny interviews he did about the script. I want to ask you another thing about Force Awakens.
Sure.
You had a problem also with Han Solo. I remember you said that they turned Han Solo into deadbeat dad.
Yep. Huge problem with it. Because, okay, like the original trilogy, they did what I'm talking about. Like you slowly got their character arcs,
yeah.
You know? like that first one, Han Solo was just kind of like, you know, just like freewheeling mm-hmm. loner guy. You know, he had Chewie, but like that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least with humans, he was loner guy, right?
Yeah.
And but like, you know, at the end, he kind of softened up a little bit, but he was still a little skeptical, you know? And that was kind of his arc. And then like, he had this full arc all the way through, you know, and, mm-hmm. and he like redeemed himself. He became like, he matured and he was part of the team. And then 30 years later, sure, I guess it could happen, but it just ruined that whole arc for me. Cause you're like, oh man, this guy grew. And if anyone who knows, like, you know, like anyone who lives any life, like that does happen to a lot of people, you know, you mature and whatever. It was just like, it was just too bad. Cause like that was one of the things that made him likable. The fact that he changed, you know, how, you know, I don't know, that bothered me. And then they just, you know, I have friends who are Star Wars fans and they're like, no, but that's who he is. It's like, okay, but I don't see it that way. But so, you know, they're like, oh, well, he shot first and all this and that. It's like, yeah, but he had like three movies, however long that time was, of growth that just never happened.
Well,
I guess.
Well, yeah, we just had the last episode I just recorded was with Matt Wilkins. He does the Expanded Universe channel on YouTube. And he's talked about the Legends, because the Legends were the original books and comic book series
sure.
that were built around the original Star Wars stories. And then those were flushed down the toilet when they reset everything.
The canon and all that.
Yeah, Disney changed the canon and they reset things. So he said that we didn't get into that detailed, but I know he had discussed how they changed some things with Han Solo from what they had in the Legends that was going on with him during that time between Return of the Jedi and then thereafter. So he said that it was a little bit, it was different as well for him. But we didn't get into it that far into it, but I know he said things were a little bit more family oriented is kind of how the way he worded it with what was going on with the characters. And then, of course, they still have a son that ends up going to the dark side, Leia and Han, the Jason Solo character was the name.
Right.
So that's basically Jason Solo has been Solo in these new movies, in these new stories. It's the same character, but just changed a little bit with the name and whatnot, and probably the origin and whatnot. What about Last Jedi? Do you like less? What are some of the things that you started to like less after the last few years?
I would say like less. I'll first say what I liked about it was it felt like, you know, like Lucas, so in Star Wars is always George Lucas's, right?
Yeah.
And he always talks about Star Wars should push it forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it always has to push forward, meaning it should always like, you know, like try and be progressive and like, and not talking politically. Like, I know it got a lot of that rap, but that people didn't like. But just like generally, like if it's in filmmaking or whatever, you know, just in story. And the things, so you asked me what I don't like about it now, but I'll just the first thing I do like about it is that it did just like kind of like, you know, it wasn't predictable, you know, and I'm not saying that always makes something good. I'm not that guy, you know, like sometimes predictability is good too, but I feel like going into Empire Strikes Back, no one really predicted any of that either. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was just like unknown. And I think he was just trying to make Star Wars like still like, you know, like the universe is so big that it's still unknown to people. You know, I feel like that's kind of, you know, you're doing these space fantasy things, like that's part of it. As long as like it still has the drama and the soap opera type thing, You know, like I feel like that's part of these space things. You want it to be a little unknown. I felt like he was trying to do that, and JJ doesn't do that, you know.
Well, one of the criticisms about JJ is that he is the master, and he's really good at it, the master of taking the best things from an IP, whatever those might be, and then recycling those things and making and trying to even cook them up a little more. And to where you can kind of reuse those things, the things that like people liked, that strike an emotion or nostalgic memory, and being able to re-trigger those moments.
Right.
So he's a master of that. Now, do you think that when Rian Johnson and what he did with The Last Jedi, his approach, was that a reaction to the fans' criticism from Force Awakens? And that the biggest criticism about Force Awakens was, and Force Awakens, not as divisive as Last Jedi, but it did have its own critics. And most people, whether they liked it or whether they disliked it or whether they were kind of on the fence, pretty much everyone agreed that it was following the beats of New Hope.
Sure.
And however you want to word that, or whether it directly copied but just rearranged things a little bit. But if New Hope's criticism was it was too predictable and too much like Force Awakens, too much like New Hope, was The Last Jedi an attempt to try to respond to that and make something that was quite the opposite?
I think on purpose. Yeah, I think hiring Rian Johnson was the reaction to that.
Now, is without seeing this movie yet, is The Rise of Skywalker going to be a reaction to all the criticisms that came from The Last Jedi now, and trying to break tighten the screws up a little bit and get back to the things that are safe?
I mean, I look at it, it's like, I don't think I'll answer all those questions. I think Rian Johnson didn't react to The Force Awakens. I think hiring Rian Johnson was the reaction, and he was just going to make, you know, Brick and Looper. He was just going to do that.
He has his own, right? Yeah, he has his style. It's more experimental.
Yeah, it's out there.
He comes from indie films. JJ came from television, doing primetime TV.
Right, and I think JJ coming back is the reaction. So we're just going to get a JJ thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing that's going to be interesting is this is the end of it.
Yeah.
Maybe. So this is the end of it.
It's the end of the nine book series.
It's the end of Luke and all those folks.
Yeah, right? And it's the end of the Skywalker saga, but I'm going to get into it when I give my 5 points later in the show of why I think Luke Skywalker is still alive.
Yeah,
I'm going to bring up something I read about the current characters in this current series.
Oh, okay, you're going to probably say what I just read yesterday or today.
Yeah, you may be on to what I'm going to be talking about.
Yeah. But I won't say it now. But yeah, like I think it'll be interesting if this is the end, because JJ's really good at the mystery box thing, right? Like leaving everyone hanging.
Yeah.
So we'll see what he does at the end. You know, if it's a hang, and it might be because of the thing, you know, that I think we're talking about. But just the things, like, real quick, because I didn't really answer this, what I don't like about The Last Jedi now. I mean, the things that were interesting on the first and second kind of watch just got less interesting. That's all. You know, like, it was like, because it was good to like invert your expectations. I kind of like that. I liked it. I thought there was some cool stuff, but you know, there's still some things I like. I like the Luke and Kylo fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still don't mind Luke's story arc. I know a lot of people want to like nitpick, like Luke wouldn't do that. Luke wouldn't raise his lightsaber at Kylo and all that. It's like, I think he would, like, if he really thought he was going to be this evil thing, if he really saw a vision of it. Mm-hmm. But in the end, he didn't kill him, did he? No. You know, like, he stopped. Yeah. So, like, that seems like Luke Skywalker, you know, like, to me. But
yeah,
I mean, there was some stuff that was weird, you know. Like I do feel like Ryan got Johnson went a little too weird at times just to prove his point. But you know,
well, I read a new one that I didn't even catch. Well, I barely caught it. Was and a lot of people thought that one of the stronger scenes was the Yoda reunion, the Force Ghost Yoda reunion with Luke Skywalker. But then I saw a lot of people agree with that this is one of the stronger scenes. Frank Oz as a puppeteer, his chemistry working off of Mark Hamill, they always had a really good chemistry working off of each other. But the thing with Yoda is that a lot of people said, well, the reason why Yoda acted weird and kooky in Empire Strikes Back was to test Luke. Because you go back to the prequels, we see Yoda, a more stoic version of Yoda in the prequels when he is in the Jedi Council and it's a much more serious Yoda we see in the prequels, not that quirky, silly Yoda that we see in The Empire Strikes Back. But a lot of people at the time I saw Empire Strikes Back and then not long after, I thought that was the being on that planet, being on a Hoth, made him kind of kooky and silly. But I've actually read that it was more of him trying to test Luke with his kooky and silliness. So for him to come back as a Force ghost in Last Jedi, doing that kooky, silly Yoda didn't make quite as much sense for some people.
Right. Yeah, you mean Dagobah, right?
Yeah, Dagobah. Dagobah.
I just figured if I didn't correct it, someone would be like, man, they both didn't know. But I know you know.
Yeah.
But I agree. Like, yeah, he was being quirky and weird just to be like, just to make Luke like, why do I have to listen to this guy and see if he has the patience to see past the, like, you know, reading a book by its cover type thing, you know? Like, can you see through that? You know, like, you know, with, you know, whoever, with Vader and through, you know, like, you got to be able to,
whatever test is thrown at you, the Palpatine, the Emperor.
Right. And you can't fall for it. Don't be lured in by, you know.
There's going to be Trojan horses constantly thrown at you as a Jedi master. You have to be ready for the
for
test.
Sure.
Different tests that are thrown at you.
Yeah, so that is a good point. That is, you know.
Well, that's one that I didn't even really... wasn't even bothering me, but didn't even bother me initially, but then later I caught it.
But also, you know, like, I don't know, like, that's the Yoda Luke knew.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he was a Force ghost, but like, how does it work? Like, was it just, or was it just a vision that Luke... You know, I don't know.
Like, or maybe that's their thing. Because you ever, you know, in relationships, whether it's with friends or whether it's with exes, ex-girlfriends, boyfriends, there's certain things you have with certain people that you don't have with anyone else. It's like, whether it's code words or a certain type of humor that's just your thing with them that you don't have with anyone else, and then you go to the next friend and you have something with them that you didn't have with the other person. So maybe that was, like you said, maybe that was the Yoda Luke thing. Yoda enjoyed doing that with Luke.
Well, but it also could be when Yoda was training Luke, you know, he didn't have this trust in this thing, you know, like maybe Yoda saw that again. It was like, no, you need to trust it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was him, you know, like kind of triggering his memory, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm slipping.
Yeah, that's true. Know? That's a good point. And there's different ways you can interpret and approach that view of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably what it is. If I was just, you know, as an amateur writer and, you know, studied a lot of writing, that's how I would interpret that probably. Like, just kind of, he wanted, it was like, Luke, you got to, like, go back to your roots, you know, like, and pull it back, man. Like, you went too far, you know, like, yeah. So you let the darkness seep in or whatever, you know. Not that he was bad, but he let it affect him. Yeah.
Also, I want to let people know, if you get a chance to check in, it's on YouTube. They'll probably have a replay of it by the time we put this podcast up. They'll have a replay of this, I'm sure, of the red carpet. And it's really the blue carpet. But it is one of the coolest designed red carpet sets I've ever seen, if not the coolest. They really went all in on this. I mean, it looks like you're walking into a spaceship when you're going through the red carpet.
I'll have to check it out.
It's really next level, next level, as far as the aesthetic, the art, and the design of the blue carpet that they put up. Also, some people may not know this, but this week, the week of the premiere and the release in the wide scale release in theaters, so the sneak peeks or sneak previews, as they call it, is on the 19th, starting at 6 p.m. everywhere. In North America, I'm pretty sure, and then it's everywhere on the 20th, Friday the 20th. It's in all theaters everywhere. But The Mandalorian, which normally drops a new episode on Fridays, is going to this week be dropped on Wednesday, and then Disney Plus is going to actually have yet a new promo/trailer that's going to be put out on Disney Plus. Along with the new Mandalorian episode. So they're putting the Mandalorian episode out at the middle of the week instead of putting it out where it overlaps with the theatrical release of the film over the weekend, which makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, to do that. So we guess we should dive into the new film and what's coming up with The Rise of Skywalker. And do you feel like... Is your worst fear that J.J. Abrams, and then for some people, this would be their biggest hope, depending on their viewpoint, is that J.J. Abrams will try to just... The whole purpose of Rise of Skywalker will be to retcon all the things that people didn't like about the last two films and try to overdo it with fan service.
I think
present us the Star Wars greatest hits.
Yeah, fan service. I don't know if it's going to be that. I do, from what I hear, and it wouldn't surprise me, is like it's going to just be quote unquote fixing things that happened in The Last Jedi, like addressing Snoke, addressing Rey's parents. In both things I'm hearing, they're not like... I mean, well, one of them's kind of a big thing. The other one's kind of just... the parents thing, what I'm hearing is like... They're still kind of nobodies, but they make them kind of like... They're like, they were actually trying to save Rey, like, and then they got murdered or something. Right. Something like that is what I'm hearing.
I think everything I've, from what I've pieced together from the TV spots, the trailers, and then reading theories, fan theories online and watching videos on YouTube, I'm convinced that the theory that she's going to turn out to be a Palpatine, I'm really now believing that's the direction they're going to go with her. She's a Palpatine, which will for the people that thought she was a Mary Sue and that she seemed a little bit too powerful, too quick, without much training, that would totally retcon that issue for people if she turned out to be a Palpatine.
Did you hear about like all the clone stuff, right? So like she's a clone, Snoke was a clone.
Sure, yeah.
You hear all that? That's what I'm hearing now.
Well, yeah. There could be there's a theory that she's the granddaughter of Palpatine, but there could also be that she was a clone creation of Palpatine's doing.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm hearing. And like, you know, that last trailer or whatever they're calling it, where, you know, he's like, I'm all the voices you've heard in your head. Like, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah,
it doesn't make me excited. You know, maybe 10-year-old me it would have.
Well, actually, like that. Really, that actually did get me excited. So maybe I'm a 10-year-old. But the thing
no.
The thing with that for me was that it would, for people that have trouble with the, because everybody seems to think this film is pointing in the direction of being the Bendemption, the Kylo Rendemption. And for some people, though, that they have a problem with that because they're like, well, wait a minute, this guy killed his dad. How can I buy him as a helping the resistance, you know, joining forces with the resistance when he killed his dad? I can't just forgive him for that. But
right.
Wouldn't that be able to fix the problem with that, is that he was being controlled by Palpatine all that time?
Yeah, I mean, but it also works for me, him just wanting to, like, be a bad guy.
Yeah.
And just, like, it's almost like that, like, well, you know, I wasn't crazy about all that going down anyway, but the way that all went down. But, like, if they were going to play that card, like, he just really wanted to be a bad guy. He really wanted to tie himself to his grandfather.
Right.
And all this, and his grandfather is, like, lore, you know, like not, like, he doesn't even know everything. He doesn't even know that he redeemed himself.
Yeah.
That makes it kind of better. Mm-hmm. To me, you know, like, he's just trying to be this thing that isn't even what he thinks it is. You know, like Vader was just a prisoner of the Emperor.
Right.
Like, he didn't even want to be that. You know, he didn't want to be bad. Like, Anakin didn't want to be bad.
He got manipulated.
He got manipulated into it.
Yeah.
And then he got out of it. And he redeemed himself.
Yeah.
You know, even though it was just the very end of Return of the Jedi.
He saved his son's life.
Right. And then, you know, and Kylo doesn't know any of that. But it isn't that, like, the human-like thing? Like, you just focus on the one thing. You actually don't know the whole story, you know? And it's like, oh, yeah, I want to be like him. It's like, yeah, but he was good and whatever. And that would be the irony, like, I want to be like him. He's trying to be like the bad guy, like him, the whole time, that he ends up being just like him and he redeems himself, mm-hmm. you know, like, type deal. Because, I mean, Vader killed a lot of people, too.
Oh, yeah. He absolutely did.
So I don't think he needed to be controlled so much, you know, like. But my only issue with that whole thing is, you know, they just washed the Snoke thing away, kind of, you know, and they just...
I think that was a puppet for Palpatine, too, Snoke. I think he was kind of the Palpatine was his puppeteer.
Sure. And I'm okay with the twist, kind of, like, of Palpatine coming back, but it's just kind of like, is it going to ruin the Jedi arc?
Well, and I think that's where the Star Wars greatest hits comes in.
Right.
The best, one of the things of the prequels that people liked, in the prequels had a lot of flaws. They had some good things too. Darth Maul, obviously, for me, was one of the strengths of the prequels, and I think Ewan McGregor was a great Obi-Wan Kenobi. But one of the other strengths was Ian McDiarmid.
He is great.
It was the actor. He's one of the great. He's there with, as far as Adam Driver, we're talking about Adam Driver being one of the best performance of the new series. Ian McDiarmid was probably by far the best performance of the prequels.
For sure.
And the best actor in that movie at the time. At least with the role he was given, he was able to really sink his teeth into it.
Okay. Again, the Star Wars arc thing. Think of his arc over the three films.
Yeah.
Like, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, the first one, like, I mean, we knew he was the Emperor, but, like, you kind of didn't, you know, like, when it came out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You weren't sure.
Yeah, but you kind of thought, you know, that doesn't that look, you know, like, I was like, it could be him.
Right.
It made sense.
And and I like Revenge of the Sith. I think that's one of the best.
Yeah, Star Wars. I think it was one of the best Star Wars films. It was a little bit late. They finally figured it all out by the third film in that series, that things started to finally click with Revenge of the Sith.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah. And, of course, there's a rumor. The rumor has always been that on that last film, George went to Steven Spielberg to help him direct it.
Possibly. I mean, I just think like the. I mean, it's also the best part of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, like he turned into Vader, and like, you know, it still had like some of the quirky like animation and all mm-hmm. that, but it was just yeah. I mean, that was a good one, and yeah, I just hope it doesn't. And I get like they're turning this thing into like the Emperor show now, you mm-hmm. know, like kinda. And but I, yeah, it's a little weird for me. Like I don't know what, especially if all that stuff happens, where like mm-hmm. they're all clones and whatever, and it's just, but we'll see. I just don't know, you know, like it is kind of too bad that like certain things didn't turn out like I don't know, like I feel like the Finn character is still underutilized. And
which character?
Finn.
The Finn character, yeah.
I thought he could have been cool.
Well, yeah, and they really... Late. Yeah, and well, that was the problem. One of the problems I had with Last Jedi, he was sent out on this Canto Bite mission and was separated from the... what I thought should have been, you know, him, Rey, and Poe should have been more of them together. And I think those three working off of each other, I like that. Because most of the scenes we had were either Finn with Poe or Finn with Rey, but the stuff with Finn and Rey are very good. The stuff with Poe and Finn are very good, but I didn't really care as much for. And I like the actress Carrie Marie Tran.
Yeah.
I like her, and she actually they did a disservice to her because she's much prettier than the way they with her the way they did her hair and kind of made her sort of look kind of silly, too quirky maybe, but she's quite glamorous actually, and I think they fixed some of that because I see in the trailers that she looks you know much more the way she should deserve to look, but I think that I just didn't like that dynamic as much, the Poe and or the Finn and Rose in The Last Jedi.
I think like what happened there is like there's just too many characters, man. Like
yeah,
like how are you supposed to follow? Like yeah, we got Luke coming back, and we got Chewbacca, and we got you know like
yeah, we didn't necessarily need that many more characters. They brought in all these new characters, and that's a concern I have about this film that's coming out this week is that there may be because there's yet more new characters than this one.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, yeah. I mean, Lando and whatnot. But I think they would have been better off just like kind of like if you want to have Luke kind of guiding it. Well, like the fact that like you know like Han came in and kind of passed through, you know, and like it would have made more sense if they like bring the legacy guys in, but like
yeah.
But they're not really in it that much, you know. Like
what's the point? They're just kind of there, just to as a yeah, token.
And people will be like, oh, well, you know, like if they're not in it, like that doesn't make any sense. It's like, no, you got to make the other characters, so you want to watch them, you know, yeah. Like you know, like that. You just got to make them good.
Make like, yeah, make the, give them good stuff to do.
Yeah. You got to make it like, oh yeah, I'm a Finn guy now. I'm a Poe and Rey. Like, cool. They're the new trio. They're supposed to be,
yeah.
But they're not.
They're not really together until the end of Last Jedi. They're finally together, and I'm told in this new film quite a bit. Yeah. Really united in this film quite a bit. So we're finally going to get some of that. So yeah, but yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And then yet again, I think, I mean, really you need, I mean, you can bring in one new character per movie, but I don't need like two or three new characters or four new characters each movie.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it just, it was just too much. I you know, and then like, you know, like they brought like, you said like Rose, like we didn't need someone else, mm-hmm. you know, and then they brought like the what's his face, the DJ character.
Yeah, the DJ character, which was pointless to me.
Yeah, like there was just a lot of characters that were just kind of like, yeah.
I mean, like,
why is there so many?
Well, in the original trilogy, you got to Empire Strikes Back. We got Yoda and we got Lando Calrissian. There's two new characters that had significant roles in that second mm-hmm. film. But there was something really there for them to be. There was a reason for them to be there.
Yeah, they moved the plot forward.
They moved the plot forward. It wasn't like, let's find a role. Let's find some way to fit Billy Dee Williams in this movie. We'll just make something up. And that's what it felt like with Benicio Del Toro character. It's like, oh, Benicio Del Toro is an amazing actor. Let's figure out some way to squeeze him in this film.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it just seemed a little forced. No pun intended. Pun intended.
No, for sure. Yeah, it just they didn't. Like Billy Dee Williams and Yoda clearly had their like, you know, their reasons for being there. And a good example is Lando Calrissian in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah,
sure, he was the one who flew the Millennium Falcon. Yeah. He got that back. It was like, but it was such a little plot point.
Yeah,
he was in Jabba's like.
Palace,
whatever palace, yeah. mm-hmm. and all that, but like he wasn't. When he was in it, he was there for a reason. It was like, okay, he's flying Millennium Falcon in the last fight, and then he was there to help, you know, save them. But like he wasn't like a big character,
yeah.
You know, like it, and they used him really well. Where like it's like you said, like the DJ, like they're forcing these characters into it. They're just kind of wedging them in to kind of,
yeah.
Instead of, you know, they're just naturally there. So like we'll see. You know, I mean, I think JJ started that. Well, quite honestly. Yeah.
Well, and Lucas would do things to sell merch. He would, like, the Ewoks were put in Empire Strikes Back, and let's face it, that was a response to E.T. E.T. was huge in the box office mm-hmm. before Empire Strikes Back came out, and Star Wars was like, their response to E.T. was, or actually not Empire Strikes Back, but after Empire Strikes Back, E.T. comes out, and Return of the Jedi, the Ewoks are a response to E.T., I think.
Sure, yeah.
Let's put some cute characters in here. We'll sell a ton of toys with the Ewoks. We might even be able to do a standalone TV movie, which they did, with just the Ewoks. But that was there. So Lucas did some stuff sometimes to sell merch. It still fit in terms of, I mean, people, I mean, I know a lot of Star Wars fans wanted that to be Wookiees in Return of the Jedi.
Sure. Sure.
And yeah, would Wookiees have been better? Probably. Would have not been as kiddified. But I mean, the Ewoks are fine. But yeah, like you said,
it was fine with it at the time.
Yeah, it was fine with what they did at the time. But they squeeze a lot of stuff in, like in these new films. And I came up with something just while we were talking, because it's going to be one of my points of why I think Luke Skywalker is going to be alive in Rise of Skywalker. But these new characters, so they've announced now that, well, Kathleen Kennedy has said that they're going to move away from doing trilogies in the future. Mm-hmm. They want to do just if a series calls for five films in a series or two films in a series, they're not going to be let themselves be restricted to saying this is three chapters. So sure. that way they won't be so restricted in terms of developing the story and developing the characters. If they need five films to tell a story, then so be it. If it need eight films to tell a story. So much like Marvel does, Marvel kind of has done it with the Avengers, where they build a phase, and then however many movies in that phase that they need to get to their conclusion, then they do it. And it's not done in trilogies. So they just make however many films they want to make with that story. So now they're going to be moving into that. She said this is the end of the Skywalker saga, but she said some of these characters in these films could continue on in other places. So there could be more Poe Dameron, but maybe in a different setting in the Star Wars galaxy, continuing right. his story, but with maybe a different ensemble of characters surrounding him. Or maybe there is a Finn movie down the road, but they'll have their own series, but it won't be a trilogy. It could be one film, it could be five films, and it might not be the story of Finn, but Finn might just be a character in another Star Wars story somewhere where there's other ensemble of characters around him. So, but my thing is, okay, maybe their ulterior motive of bringing on in all these extra characters in this next film is because they have ideas or plans for them to use them in future films.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's, I mean, world, you know, it's a little bit, it's a little late in the game for world building, but it sounds like to me that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, I could see them definitely going the Marvel route now.
Yeah.
You know, that seems like the way to go. But, like, you know, I kind of feel like the Marvel thing might have just been good for that time. Like, I don't know if people have the attention span to, like, be like, yeah, let's build a Star Wars world like that. I mean, maybe. I could be wrong there.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if they can go as far as what Marvel has gone with what they've done. And I don't even know if Marvel will be able to do that another 10 years of what they've already done.
Right.
Because they're going to keep trying. They're not done just because they concluded that phase with the Avengers. They're not done. They're going to keep turning out stories. But I think that I first I thought after the failure of the Solo film in box office sales, I thought maybe they really overcooked what they have, and maybe they really aren't going to be able to do it, duplicate what Marvel's done. But now, since seeing Mandalorian and what they were able to do with Mandalorian, I think right. they could do some stuff with that galaxy, and I think there is something there. I don't know if it's on the same scale as what they did with the Avengers and Marvel, but there certainly is more there than. And in fact, it may be sort of getting getting out from under the shadow of the Skywalker saga might actually help in a way, because then they won't be so restricted to sort of these kind of seems to be these rules.
Yeah, I think the television thing, the Mandalorian, and going that route might be the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And they could the Mandalorian could go on for a little while, and they're, you know, yeah, I think they could have some other good shows like that could do really well.
Yeah. Just cause I mean, look at the cartoons, like, you know, Rebels and stuff, like, you know, like I feel like there's just way it's more forgiving, because you can have an episode that's kind of like I already see it.
Exactly.
I'm not caught up on the Mandalorian, but yeah. I saw like a lot of like negative feedback on episode 6 or whatever, and I don't know why, but it seems like I don't know, like, similar to like what people complain about with the films, you know, just kind of like too expected or whatever. And it's just like, okay. I mean, it's just an episode. There's more to come. So
yeah. Oh yeah. And they have probably not even, the best is probably still yet to come, because most shows really second or third season, usually the best of most series.
Right. Right. And like, it's just like television's just more forgiving. Like, where like these movies, it's like, it's such a big deal. And it's like, maybe it's not. I mean, they're coming out more often. So, like, maybe we shouldn't hold them in such high regard, you know? That said, you know, I still like Rogue One. It's probably still my favorite new Star Wars movie. No, it's definitely my favorite new Star Wars movie.
Do you like The Mandalorian so far, what you've seen?
Yeah, I do. I think it's, you know, I think it's campier than I thought it was going to be, but I like that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, it works. Yeah. And it's got some edge where in some places where it works, and then yeah, there are some softer moments there. So okay, so I want to set this up now. I set this up at the beginning of the show, and I want to get into this. The five reasons, my five bullet points for Luke Skywalker still being alive, and why I think he's still going to be alive in Rise of Skywalker. So this was a point that was brought up. I watched a YouTube video today, and I think it's Campanera. He used to be on Collider, that has his own YouTube show now, and he had brought this point up a month ago. I actually went on today to see if anybody else was on the same wavelength as me, because I came up with this a few days ago. I just sort of out of the blue, and so today I decided to look on and see if anybody else was tapped into this, and Campanera was on this about a month ago. You look at the trailers, all the TV spots, there's no sign of... We hear his voice in the voiceover, but there's no visible sign of Luke Skywalker in any of the trailers and any of the TV promos. I think... And they've put a lot out on the trailers. They've put a lot of stuff out, more than they did in the previous two films, in terms of showing us a lot. The stuff with the Emperor and Kylo Ren, I mean, they could have stopped quite a while ago and not given us any new stuff, but they've continued to give us a lot of stuff. And I think it's because of the failure of what happened with Solo, the divisiveness of Last Jedi. They're really trying to make sure they hammer it home that, hey, come back to the theaters. We're going to entertain you. We're going to satisfy you. We're going to please you. So they're trying to show a lot And this whole thing with Palpatine, with the voices of Darth Vader and all these other voices that come in, I think that is trying to get the sort of the passive fans, the people that don't usually go out to see Star Wars the first week or two. That's to try to get kind of dumb it down and get those people into the theaters. But as a result, it's spoiling it for the people that are the diehard fans that don't really want to see all of that. They want to say they don't really want to see all that, but they're showing it. They're kind of doing it. They're kind of doing it for the fans that are sort of the not as diehard fans to say, "Hey, look, the voice of Darth Vader. Look at that." You know, kind of dumbing it down for them a little bit.
Sure, because a lot of the people that are real fans, quotes, have jumped ship, or they say they are.
Yeah,
I'm not going this and that, or I don't know anyone who's not going. They might not go opening night.
Right,
but they're like, oh, I'll go the next week.
Yeah,
the day, or
I'll
something.
Go a matinee, or matinee in a couple, next week instead of the first week. So, but here's the thing: they are trying to dumb it down for the passive fans, but then they're also trying to encourage the people that had jumped off the ship to get back on, saying, look, this is going to be really good. Look, we'll show you something here, and you'll want to go and see it after you see this. But if that was the case, and that's what they are doing, why don't they give us a little bit of Luke? I thought they would have given us a little bit of Luke. Force Ghost Luke, like a quick shot of Force Ghost Luke. Wouldn't that have been part of one of the trailers by now?
Sure.
I think that they're not showing it on purpose, because there's some reason if they show us Luke as he appears in this film, it's going to somehow spoil something that they don't want to give away. Something major. Possibly. A major plot point that they don't want to give away about Luke. And so that's one of my theories, is that why are they hiding Luke? Why are they hiding Luke? It's because there's something that's key to the plot that they don't want to give away. And I think it could be because Luke is still alive. If they show the flesh and blood alive Luke Skywalker in one of the trailers, then everybody's going to know that he didn't die in Last Jedi. Number two. The quote Luke Skywalker had said, "No one has ever really gone." I think that is a kind of a hint that he's coming back. That's my number two. Number three, if you go online, you see that the internet, you see what the podcasters are saying and what the YouTubers are saying. It's the consensus out there is that the fan base wants Luke Skywalker to come back. And they also were very, it was one of the most divisive parts of The Last Jedi, was the notion that he may have died in The Last Jedi. So if this film is really to do fan service, what would do fan service more than to say, oh, we got you, Luke didn't die? So that's the third thing. Number four, if you see Mark Hamill's interviews, he's really pouring it on in terms of like trying to like be aggressive about telling people that he's dead. Like he's really trying a little bit overcooking it a little bit. Like in terms of like he made that one statement in one of his interviews where he asked JJ, "Hey JJ, can I come back? Can I be alive in the next film?" And JJ was like, "No, you." So to me, that's a little bit like trying to redirect people in the interviews by being a little bit just over the top.
Sure.
In his statements. Number five, Kathleen Kennedy, we just talked about this. She said some of these characters are going to continue on in other stories, in other shows and movies later on. So if that is the case, then I think that these other characters are going to, if their arcs and stories are going to continue on in the future, I think that's mostly focused on the newer characters. It wouldn't be as much in the older characters like Lando or Leia for the obvious reasons. They're getting a little up there in the years. They're not going to be able to carry a series. Okay? So why not make this last film more about focused on characters like Luke Skywalker? If these newer characters are going to continue on other stories, there's no need to really give us a whole lot of them because they're going to be back. So that's sure. My fifth reason why I think Luke is alive and is going to be used in this next film. Now, it's not to say that he is going to be in the movie a lot. He may be in the movie 15 minutes. He may be in the movie 20 minutes max, but I do think it's going to be Luke Skywalker alive. My theory right now, I think what's going to happen is I think that both Rey and Kylo are going to have a face-off against Palpatine, and I think that they're going to get in trouble, and I think that Luke's going to come to bail him out at the end of the film, and we're going to get the showdown between Palpatine and Luke Skywalker, and that's my feeling right now. Actually, we'll get a showdown with Rey, Kylo, Luke versus Palpatine, and I think that's going to be the finale of the film.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of rumors, you know, like what happens, that like Kylo sacrifices himself.
Sure.
And this and that, and, you know, or Ben Solo, or he becomes Ben at some point. Which I think that's a slam dunk. Like, that's going to happen. He will be redeemed. Like,
yeah.
I think everyone knew that from day one. And I think, you know, killing Han is a thing, but I also heard Han is in the movie, so.
Yeah, and I actually believe that. I think he'll be back in sort of like a dream sequence, and I think that's going to be one of the things that's going to help bring Kylo back to the light side of the Force, is seeing a and I also think we'll get Leia dying in her deathbed somewhere later in the movie. And I believe that Kylo will come back to see his mom before she dies.
Yeah, probably.
Or Ben, actually Ben Solo, and I think that's also going to be one of the things that's going to bring him back to the light side of the Force is seeing his mom before she dies, and maybe one of her last wishes is for her to get that Palpatine once and for all. He caused so many problems for our family over the years. Finally get that jackass.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well make it Palpatine's fault why Han Solo was a deadbeat dad.
Well, I was actually going to bring that up.
Just to cover up everything.
Yeah, because I was going to bring that up. Maybe it was Palpatine that was controlling Han Solo into being a deadbeat dad so he could turn Kylo Ren to the dark side easier.
Yeah, every bad plot character choice, we'll just blame Palpatine.
It'll go back to Palpatine. Well, it is a space opera, and in the world of soap operas, they used to always look for some sort of quick out when they had a bad story arc that was unpopular with the audience. And one of the most notorious or most notable was the Dallas. The show Dallas. Yeah. They had that season where it was considered one of the worst written seasons of the show. And to retcon everything, they made it.
It was a dream.
It was a dream. And Bobby Ewing was alive, and Pam wakes up from this dream, and then Bobby's alive in the shower, and that's the cliffhanger. And it turns out that a whole season was a dream.
Yeah. Didn't JJ do that with like Lost or something?
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. And here's the thing. You know, one of the criticisms about JJ also has been that he didn't know how to end things.
Yeah, he didn't know how to end Lost, man. I think he made it a dream.
So
I think he did.
Yeah,
I wasn't a big Lost person, but I'm pretty sure it was something like that. It was something like, none of this really happened.
Well, and that's true. That's one of the things that they tried to use something like that in Lost as well. So it's been done before. Even Saturday Night Live, following that Dallas season, they had a really bad season of Saturday Night Live where it was so bad after one season, this cast was, they cleaned house.
Yeah, they got rid of them. Yeah,
they got rid of them. And it was that one season where they had kind of an odd cast. They had Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Michael Hall.
Yep.
That year, and it just didn't work. So they came in and they cleaned house that year. The next year they brought in Dana Carvey and Mike Myers and Phil Hartman. It was that legendary cast that turned out to be one of the most
Farley best,
one of the greatest cast ever in Saturday Night Live. So it was a good rebound. But they came back that year and they did a spoof on the season was all a dream. And they had, I think they had Madonna in it, but yeah, they did their own little spoof on that. By the way, speaking of Saturday Night Live, I would be tone deaf not to mention that this week, after 35 years, it's a huge week because it's the Star Wars premiere, and then on Saturday, Eddie Murphy's going to host Saturday Night Live for the first time in 35 years.
Oh, yeah, man, that's a big deal. Like, I remember when they had that, what was it? Like, they had some kind of... I don't know how many year celebration for Saturday Night Live, 40 years or something.
And he
came on that and like did a quick monologue or whatever.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because I remember Chris Rock came in and did a setup for him and introduced him, and then he came out and really didn't do any jokes. A little more serious, and just kind of came out and thanked everyone, and then that was it. I think a lot of people were hoping he was going to come out and do a character. Or do some jokes or something. So I think it's going to be cool. He's going to finally come back. And which of his, I mean, I think it's everything points in the direction that he's going to do something with his Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Well, I'll have to with that movie out and all that now, right?
Yeah, Mr. Rogers being such a thing in the news right now with the new movie with Tom Hanks coming out. The documentary was out, I think, last year. So it just makes sense that he's going to do something with Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Yeah, for sure. No, that'd be cool.
Gumby, possibly. I think the other one that I could see him coming back and doing, he did that Hot Tub Time Machine, James Brown Hot Tub Time Machine. Mm-hmm. Not Hot Tub Time Machine, but he did James Brown Hot Tub. James Brown's Celebrity Hot Tub Party. And now, here he is, the Godfather of Soul and Hot Tub Man number one. I could see that now, him doing like a James Brown, like from the dead, kind of like the ghost of James Brown, like hot tub scenario.
Yeah, that could be something. Yeah, I mean, that was really any of his popular. I mean, there are some, like when he did like Buckwheat from Little Rascals, like no one knows what that is now.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I don't know, unless they can figure out some like funny way to tie that into modern modern stuff.
Right, right.
To where it could be, still be. And I don't know, in 2019, if you can still do buckwheat chokes, if they still fly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure,
But if anybody could pull it off, it's Eddie Murphy.
Sure. He's always a little on the edge and uncomfortable areas, you know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, in the 1980s, he put on makeup and made himself up to look like a white guy.
Right.
And he went out, which was one of his funniest all-time best bits, was when he did the wanted to see what the white man experience was like on the streets. And I think he'll do something like where they do a digital short also with him in the cast. I think he's probably going to also have some of his comedian friends probably join him for the show and do some stuff with them. I could see Tracy Morgan popping up, maybe Chris Rock.
Yeah. Sure.
And at the very, very minimum, they're going to be there in the audience probably just to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like a legendary cast member, you know.
Yeah, you can't.
He did so much.
It's not going to be a ticket that we could have gone to New York and had been able to get.
Yeah, for sure.
The audience will be full of celebrities. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be like you're going to the Oscars or something.
Yeah, no, it'll be cool.
Yeah,
I look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. The energy in the room will be pretty electric, as they say. Well, Paul Nye,
for sure.
I want to thank you for joining me for this Thunderpop Extra.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I look forward to hearing what you think about the film after it's after you've seen it. And are you more nervous, or are you just not getting your hopes up too much because you really?
I think I'm more curious.
Yeah.
You know, like just to see. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of like not expecting much, mm-hmm. but who knows? Like, I mean, Mandalorian was like a pleasant surprise, you know, and I know it's different guys, but. But, you know, maybe Disney has, like, figured it out.
Well, yeah. The thing is, one thing that The Mandalorian has, that this film also has, and then it was something that I think that was even a little bit with Solo, was that George Lucas participated in all of those projects. And he didn't really have any involvement in Force Awakens, and he didn't really have any involvement in Last Jedi, but he did have some involvement in some of the more recent stuff,
sure,
and which could have helped quite a bit, especially with the mythos, the bringing in a lot of the Star Wars stuff from the past.
For sure.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what he does. All right, Paul Nye, thank you so much.
All right,
and you, sir, have a great night. And I want to thank everyone for this joining us for this Thunderpop Extra. We're just a few days away from the Rise of Skywalker.
Kylo, baby, slip a lightsaber in Rey for me. I've been an evil Sith Lord. Kylo, baby, come rule with Palpatine tonight. Kylo, baby, a First Order destroyer too on Jakku. I want to kill your mom. Kylo, baby, come rule with Palpatine tonight.